You're listening to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at coldod.org.
Well, I want to talk about Haderech. Let's say Haderech today. That is the way, and that was a term that was used of the Messiah followers early on. You can move on to the slides. There we go. Thanks, Alex. So, by the way, that song was, I believe, Merbinay, that song you just heard. So, great man who became Orthodox, Jewish and Israeli. So, some of us are going to Israel. Here's an Israeli joke. A tourist driving, just real simple. A tourist driving, he pulls up to a policeman in Israel, and he asks, "Excuse me, can I park here?" "No," the policeman says. So the man asks, "Well, how about these other cars?" The policeman says, "They didn't ask." It's cute, no? Came across that thing. But what does it mean to be followers of Haderech, the way? Let's turn to Matthew 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. Today we are halfway to Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, from Pesach, Passover. 25 out of 50 days have passed, I think 25, 26, somewhere in there, since Passover to Pentecost. Oh, we were going to do the blessing of the Omer, but we'll not do it today. After Yeshua's death and resurrection, where would he have been at about this time? Interesting to think about. Which encounter with his disciples might have occurred at this junction? Think about it. Very possibly, this episode recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. On a hill, which in Hebrew really is a small mountain. You can keep going, Alex. There we go, thanks. A small mountain in Galilee, the Galilee. Acts 1:3 says, To them he presented himself alive after this passion by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking of the kingdom of God. Now, evidently, Jesus had also summoned them back to Jerusalem, at least toward the end of the period of the 40 days. There they would be present for the Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. Pentecost, Greek word for 50. We can imagine frequent appearances with an ongoing instruction, for Luke records that Jesus stayed with them. Now, most of these appearances and discourses are not recorded. Do you realize that? But Luke writes in Acts, and while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John immersed or baptized with water, but before many days you shall be immersed or baptized with the Holy Spirit," the Ruach HaKodesh, Acts 1:4. So they would need the Ruach HaKodesh in order to obey and to accomplish what he would require of them. They couldn't do it in their own power. So possibly at about halfway through the period of counting the Omer, between Passover and Pentecost, Yeshua appeared to his Talmidim, his students, his disciples, on a specific hilltop in Galilee recorded here, Matthew 28. So this is after his death, after his resurrection, after several of his appearances to his Talmidim, in Jerusalem's upper room there he visited, in his visit on Emmaus Road, back in the Galilee on the shore with Peter and six others, we read about last week, and perhaps after an appearance, which means the to be seen in the Greek, to over 500 brothers at once. And the only mention of that is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. Imagine that. He appeared to over 500 people. It's a pretty good crowd, don't you think? We probably have 150 maybe here today, maybe, with, you know, children. A lot of people are children, without with children now. And but imagine over 500 people. Now, reminded me when I said that I thought that of numbers of a story. The pastor, the rabbi who married us, who I need to keep in touch with, he's in Philadelphia, Herb Links, great friend, and my first exposure to Jewish believers, really, in Philadelphia. And we flew him here to do our wedding 28 years ago, and because we were here that time for 5 years, then we left and came back 15 years ago. But Herb was very dry, had a very dry sense of humor. So he was being interviewed when the Messianic movement was very young and radical, and you know, not people didn't know what it was about. And he had the Messianic Jewish Center downtown, never big, never, you know, large crowd, maybe, you know, 30, 40 people, you know, on a good Shabbat, or actually they met Sunday mornings in those days. And anyway, downtown, so he was being interviewed by at that time, the big major newspaper in Philadelphia, I think it was the Bulletin. And so the interviewer asked him, said at one point, how large is your congregation? How large, you know, and the Jewish community is getting very scared, you know, very scared, get upset at this. And so again, 30, maybe 40 people. Herb says, we're still under 500. So the next day in the newspaper, Messianic Jewish congregation of 500 people meeting, and the Jewish community went in an uproar. It's a true story. He never explained. He just said, we're under 500. We could say that too, yeah. Well, usually when people ask me how large we are, you know, people, I say, how large are you? And I say, well, my wife comes. Okay, but Matthew 28. Now, the picture that we see here, let's go a little further, Alex. Go to the picture. Back. Keep going back. Back. Okay, stop there. Great. Okay, thanks, Al. All right, this picture, I looked for pictures of this Matthew 28, and I could not find very many good pictures. So the artists here, maybe you want to design a real good Jewish picture of what this really looked like. This is not what it looked like. And so I put on the slide, not white skin. Jesus wasn't white. Jesus, he was not probably in a clean white robe. It's possible, but I doubt it. hair was not straight, most likely. he was probably a lot stronger build, being a, you know, carpenter's son, which, you know, they now believe was a stonemason and everything growing up, but, you know, all the walking, all the... And they were probably much more intense, the disciples, looking than that. Probably very active. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. but the mountain, it says in verse 16, where Yeshua arranged, it says, or designated them, it was a specific mountain. Verse 16, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain Yeshua had designated, the mountain. Now, now look at those slides of the Galilee. There, let's just look at that. I had two slides there. Yeah, there's one. Let's picture. So that's kind of a mountain, right? It's kind of a mountain, but not like, you know, the Alps or, you know, Gatlinburg or something. It could have been a large hill or something like that. We don't know. But it's interesting that it's similar that Moses' final instructions were given on a mountain, and here Yeshua's final instructions are given on a mountain here. And so it says in verse 17, I love this, says, when they saw him, they worshipped. The worship means to kiss toward in Greek, proskuneo. Proskuneo means to kiss toward, or it could mean to kiss the face. In the Septuagint, it's used for shachah, to bow down. So they worshipped him. They worshiped. Maybe they bowed down to him. Probably bowed down. They were enamored with him. But it says, I love this, but some, what? Wavered. Some wavered. And that word wavering. So Yeshua approached them and he commissioned them, but even those that were wavering. Wavered is distatso, I'm reading my Greek, distatso, and it means a double stance, to go back and forth. And so he's still commissioning them, even though they're wavering. Does faith mean the absence of doubt? No. It means trusting in spite of, at times, some lingering questions. Now, I think this is a very interesting thought because, you know, I'll be honest, I don't completely understand reconciling this with James or Jacob chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, whatever you ask, ask in faith, or you won't receive it, basically. You won't receive anything from the Lord if you doubt. But the word there means, you ask in, again, faith means trust in Greek and Hebrew, emunah and pistuo in Greek, emunah and Hebrew. He says, ask and trust in James 1:6 without, and the word there means to judge, to discriminate. Thomas, did Thomas doubt? He sure did, right? In John 20:27, and Yeshua appeared to him with him when he was with the disciples because Thomas didn't believe. He said, unless I can see him and put my hand in his side and touch his hands, I think. You know, he says, I won't believe. Now, we don't know that he did that he ever had to do that because Yeshua appeared and offered, told it, said, go ahead and do it. We don't know. That doesn't say that Thomas rather did it. But he said, my Lord and my God. Yeshua is God too, right? He is divine. My Lord and my God, John chapter 20. And Yeshua told him, stop distrusting, and the Greek would say, stop not trusting me. Trust me. But our faith is tested. James, earlier in James or Jacob, he talks in verse 3, and then later in verse 12, he says, our faith is tested. Doubt is normal, and questions are good. Just don't harden into distrust and judgment, would be what I'd say. Don't harden into distrust and judgment. Until you turn that around, you can't. That's what I think James is saying, or Jacob is saying. Until you can turn that around, you won't be able to receive anything that God wants to give you. Does that make sense? I think it does, but there may be other takes on it. But we know that they wavered, and Yeshua didn't say, well, forget it, I'm not going to commission you. He's still giving them these last instructions, even though some wavered. I just love that. So 2 Timothy 1:9 says, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our deeds, but because of his own purpose and grace. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from who? Right. Now, how about Jeremiah? The word of Adonai, chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, the word of the Lord came to me, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you prophet to the nations. And what's Jeremiah's response? I said, alas, Adonai Elohim, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak, for I'm still a boy. And the word I is anochi. There's two words for I in Hebrew, ani, and let's say ani, anochi. Anochi is more of the emphasis on I. He says, I am still a boy. I'm not R. But the Lord answered me, don't say, I am only a boy. For to everyone I send you, you will go. And all I command you, you will speak. Don't be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you. It's a declaration of Adonai. Oh, I love that. Isn't that great? So listen, if the focus is on me, then I can't do it. God says, don't focus on you, focus on me, on God. I'm the one that's able. Don't focus on yourself, who you are. Focus on who I am. And so Yeshua said, how about Gideon in Judges 6? He's doubting. He has all the, and God works with him. Our faith is tested, but we trust the Lord. We don't have to understand everything. We can still have questions and doubt, but we trust him. We make a decision. I'm still going to go forward. I'm not going to let it stop me. from following you and obeying you. All right, verse 18, we move on. At Matthew 28 says, verse 18, and Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority. How much authority? Wow, that's a lot of authority, don't you think? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Exousia is the Greek word, means delegated power out from, would be literally how you, delegated power out from, in heaven and upon earth. First verse of the Bible, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father, Yeshua is saying, has delegated all power to me, the Son, over all that he has created. So this is a new beginning, a new creation. The word Rosh from Bereshit in the beginning, Rosh, let's say Rosh, it means beginning or animate. Head, like Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. It means to start. So it's a new beginning Yeshua is giving them. And then in verse 19, go, therefore, and make disciples of a few nations, of the people that are like you. Okay, of the people that you're comfortable with. Go and make disciples of what? All nations, immersing them into the name, it says, of the Greek, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. Let me keep stopping, all right? 19, going, four verbs that evidently they're going, making, immersing, and teaching. Now let's look at going. In other words, don't stand still. Don't stay comfortable and settle here. And the Greek, really, the tense is having gone. Having gone, he assumes that they're going to go. He assumes they're going to go. Yeshua counts on us obeying and going. I love this story, and I meant to look it up to get a better, because I have it, has actually in an actual book, but I found it online a few times, but I think it's more than this in the book I have. But S.D. Gordon, listen to this story. He says in his book on quiet talks, he would just have these do these quiet talks. He gives an imaginary account of Jesus' return to heaven after his ascension. I'm going to speak on the ascension, not next Shabbat. Sean's going to give a great message next Shabbat. We'll be in Israel, but when I come back, I'm going to speak on the ascension, because that's when would have happened. And Yeshua, imagine he's returned to heaven after the ascension. As the angel Gabriel greeted Yeshua, he speaks to him and he says, Master, you died for the world, did you not? And Yeshua says, yes. Well, you must have suffered much, Gabriel says. And again, Yeshua answered simply, yes. Well, do they all know that you died for them? Gabriel continued. No, just a few in Israel know so far. Yeshua said, Gabriel says, well then, what's your plan for telling the rest of the world that you poured out your blood and for them? And Yeshua said, well, I asked Peter and James and John and Andrew, and a few others, if they would just make it the business of their lives to tell others. And the ones they tell will tell others. And they, in turn, could still tell others. And finally, it would reach the farthest corner of the earth, and all would know the truth and the power of it. Wow! And Gabriel, knowing what stuff the disciples were made of, is concerned, and he says, but suppose Peter fails again? And suppose after a while John just doesn't tell anyone? And what if James and Andrew are ashamed or afraid? And if I think I remember right, he says, and what if people, if they just get too busy with other things? Then what? Here's Yeshua's answer in this imaginary tale. I have no other plans. I'm counting on them. Love that story. Yeshua said, having gone, you're going to go. I trust you're going to go into all the world to share this message of my death and resurrection, that people can have eternal life. Chaye olam, imagine it. Have be born again, have a new birth, a regeneration. And I want to mention, would I distinguish between salvation and discipleship? Because he says, make disciples then. Between regeneration and being a follower of Yeshua? My answer is yes, I do. Regeneration, become a new creation. If any person is in Messiah, they're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Titus 3:5 talks about a bath of rebirth. A bath of rebirth that happens. James 1:18, you're begotten, you're rebirthed through the word of truth. It's an experience. It's a set one time. It happens. John 3:3-5, if a person, Yeshua speaking, remember to Nicodemus, says if a person is, man is born again, born anew, however you want to translate. He's born again. There's a new experience. Ephesians 1:13-14 talks about being sealed with the Holy Spirit when we believe, when we trust it. Discipleship, on the other hand, means we're following the Lord and sacrifice and giving up and following him. Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to do and willing to do of his good pleasure. So there's a distinction there. Discipleship says your body is not your own anymore, so glorify God in your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit now, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. And so there's a distinction. The two should go together. They sure should go together. One following the other, birth and maturation, just like a baby is born and then it grows. It grows. But some people will say, some people believe if you're not following the Lord and you're not you are lost. You are still lost. I don't believe that. I believe God only knows the truth of each individual. He knows who those are his. And actually that verse where that the Lord knows those that are his, and everyone who names the name of the Messiah depart from iniquity. I can't think of the reference. It's in Timothy, I think. But God knows those that are really his. And we don't always know by the outside. But we should follow the Lord when we have that experience of rebirth. Yes, and we want to. We should be hungry for him, hopefully. And some have a real, some it's not a real thing. If they just grow up in it and it's just words and it doesn't mean anything. But God knows the heart, right? And Yeshua said to make disciples, verse 19. He said, make disciples. This is the key command or task here he's teaching of making disciples. The going and the immersing are actually secondary verbs. Teaching is simply clarifying or part of the making disciples. So in other words, as you go forward, obeying my orders to take this new information, disciple everyone. Everyone, indiscriminately, by immersing them into the reality and nature of God, our Father, of me, his Son, and of his Spirit, teaching them all that I've told you to. Now that sounds like, wait a minute, immersing them into the name of the, you didn't talk about water there. I believe in a mikveh of that we, I believe, but I don't necessarily think he has that in mind here. Maybe he does. And clearly we are immersed in a sign of our following the Lord that we've had that experience. And we're having one June 10th, and we love the experience of the mikveh. So sign up, call the office if you want to be mikveh June 10th at Edwin Warner Park. With snakes and, no, there's no snakes in that water. We go by the running water. We make sure. Make sure it's the running part of the water. But here he says, and you know, I love that, immersing them into the reality, because Acts 1 verses 2 and 3, up to this day, it says up to the day he was taken up, after he had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the emissaries he had chosen, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. During this period between his resurrection and ascension, he taught them what they were to teach the nations, the way, so to speak. They were to instruct the nations in the way of life. The early messianic movement seems to have been known as the way. Haderech, let's say Haderech. And it's right up there for you. At least seven times it's mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, or as Daniel Gruber calls this book, the Maaseh HaShlichim. Shlichim is sent ones, really. And let me read you a few of the verses. It says that they found any of this way, Acts 9:2. The way of salvation, Acts 16:17. Apollos had been instructed, we read this earlier, in the way of the Lord. Began speaking out boldly in synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God more accurately. Acts 18, 25-26, they were hardening and refusing to believe, speaking evil of the way before the whole group. Acts 19:9, around that time there arose no small uproar concerning the way. Acts 19:23, Paul says, he's speaking and giving a message in his defense, he says, I am a Jewish man. Born, not I was Jewish, I am Jewish. Born in Tarsus of Cilicia, Cilicia, I don't know how you say. And he was brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. A train was mentioned in the Haggadah, by the way. Gamaliel, trained strictly according to the Torah of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are today, speaking to his Jewish people, sharing the good news. I persecuted this way to the death. Acts 22, verses 3 and 4. So what was and is the meaning of Haderech? Let me mention a few possibilities, a few thoughts. Number one, Yeshua is the way, right? He proclaimed himself to be, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Salvation, the way of salvation, Acts 16:17. It is the way of salvation. God, number three, God's or Adonai's way in Acts 18:25-26, which we already mentioned. God's Rodanai's way. It was doing righteousness and justice, as God said of Abraham and his descendants, Genesis 18:19. Five, it was new either to what was, had been currently believed or practiced in Judaism, as we learn from Paul's testimony to his people in Acts 22. And derech means, the root derech, means to step forward, to progress toward a goal. It was prophesied in Isaiah 40, verse 3, and Jeremiah 31:31-34, where God says he would make a new covenant with the Jewish people, different from the Mosaic covenant, where he would put his Torah within us now. And he'd write it on our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean he'd disregard the old or discard the old, but fulfill it. It fulfills it. Brings it to its full purpose. Yeshua said, I didn't come to abolish the Torah, but to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17. Or Messiah is not, as the King James says there, the end of the law, but it means the goal of the law. He's the goal of it in Romans 10, verse 4. A sixth meaning, would be one of the, is that we now belong to God and to the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, and we are not of, now Jew and Gentile are together his sheep. Jew and Gentile together his sheep. Yeshua said, remember, in John chapter 10. And we're not like the world. John 17, Yeshua said, I've given them your word and the world hated them because they're not of the world. We're following the way, folks. Haderech, let's say Haderech. We're following Haderech, the way. We're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world, Yeshua said. They're not of the world, just as I'm not. Make them holy in thy truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. He's saying it even in advance of his death. And I'm not going to go into some things from the parasha today, but that were from Leviticus 19, that were different from the world. But we are followers of the way. We are followers of the way. We love people. We don't discard people. The outsider, like we read earlier in the parsha, says that and by the way, that word ger, foreigner, means to live without protection. Where he's dwelling, he said, the one dwelling among you shall be as the native born among you. You'll love him as yourself. ואהבת לו כמוך. For you were outsiders. We were once in Egypt. We were once outsiders. And I am the Lord your God. Son of Man has come for that purpose. We don't complain. We're not griping. We're grateful. We're different from the world. We're followers of the way. We don't retaliate. We let God fight for us. Harbor grudges. No, we forgive as God in Messiah forgave us. We've got a new standard, don't we? We don't eat at Lobster House just because everyone others do. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't eaten there in many years. But someone did take me to lunch there, but I didn't eat lobster. But on a more serious note, I've said this before, you know, I just say it especially for our young people. We don't have, but it's true for everyone. I don't have sex with my boyfriend or girlfriend because it's expected. I don't have to do business on money or Shabbat because everyone else does. I have my own convictions before the Lord. Do what the Lord. We're not copying the cosmos. We're copying the Creator, imitators of Him. The culture of the world, of the word culture, rather, we don't follow. We follow the words of His covenant. We follow Haderach. We walk in the way. Warren Wiersbe said, We each need to ask ourselves this question: where would we be if others helped us to the same degree that we help others? I like this. Richard Wurmbrand said, "Don't require a smile of people. If you see someone without a smile, give him yours." Multitudes followed Yeshua. It was because he did not expect from them sympathy for his great sorrows. He comforted them in theirs. Don't get angry at the man who acts in a manner that displeases you. He might have heard a different drummer. Everyone walks to the music he hears. Let him hear from you a more beautiful melody. It might change his pace. At a party in my home, he says, believers were discussing their friends. Some of them considered strong believers, others weak believers, still others unbelievers. An old missionary from India intervened who was there, and he said, "Don't classify people. Our judgments might be wrong. As often as we speak, let us better propagate the love of Messiah, the love of Christ. This will gladden the strong believer, strengthen the weak one, and turn the unbeliever." So in other words, we're part of the solution, not the ongoing, make the problem worse. "So we will have done something positive," he said. Wurmbrand says, spread sunshine among others instead of judging how much sunshine another has in his or her life. We are followers of Haderach. Amen? Let's say we are followers of Haderach. We are followers of Haderach. We are followers of the way, right? We walk in the way. Abide in Yeshua. And then Yeshua says, and I've got to finish this up, but of all nations, he said to go to all nations. It's the expansion, an expansion of the original mission. In Matthew 10:6, because remember, 10:6, Matthew 5:24, he said, "I'm come only." He says, "I'm only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not come for the goyim, for the Gentiles. I'm here first to minister to my people." He expands this. So this is radical. This is revolutionary. The word ethnos is ethne from ethnos, or nations is ethne from ethnos. Think of the next slide. I have it on there, Alex. Somewhere in there. See if you can find it. Should be. Okay, there. All right. and so it means a race or a nation, an ethnic group. And what would be the equivalent Hebrew words for it? Well, amim, let's say amim, and goyim. Okay, I have up there amim and hagoyim, the nations. Both words can be used in the biblically from Septuagint, etc. So no people group is excluded. Yeshua said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, Numbers 21, that amazing image, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that some who believe in him, no, whoever believes in him may have what? Eternal life. Wow. That is incredible. For God, so if you've never seen someone come to know the Lord, if you've never had that privilege of leading someone to receive the Lord and see that new life come, you are missing out on the greatest experience. There is, when that happens, there is nothing else to live for. It's like, this is heaven. When you see that person pass in John 5:24 from death to life, like Dr. Martina was talking about, that this opportunity we have, this outreach in Zimbabwe in September, when you, and you know, where people haven't heard, when someone, and we have it here in Nashville too, by the way, we have so many from other countries, even Antioch and all these areas, you know, now, and we can reach them, we can help them with English and help bring them to know the love of God in Messiah. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He's the atonement of our sins, and not ours only, our sins only, but also over the whole world. 1 John 2:2. God wants every nation, tribe, people, and tongue reached with the good news. He desires all men to be saved. That's Revelation 7:9 and 14:6, by the way, every tribe. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2:4, not wanting that any perish, but that all come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. Now, let me also say, this does not negate nor abrogate the mission to the Jewish people. Romans 9 through 11 is in the very heart of the New Testament. I wish Christians would understand that sometimes. It's in the heart of your New Testament, Romans 9 through 11. A lot would like to see it excised. Is that the word? Taken out, you know, or wish it wasn't there. It's right there, like, look. God says good news of the Messiah is to the Jew first, Romans 1:16. Acts 8, 1:8, he said, beginning at Jerusalem. You start right there in Jerusalem. Start with the Jewish people. Start where it was toughest, where the rejection is sometimes. Start there. Many biblical expositors see Messianic Jews as the key and the ones who will ultimately fulfill the Great Commission, where the Gentile body has historically failed. And they take that, and I don't know, that's just interpretation, but it's interesting, from Revelation 7 and 14, when you deal with the 144,000, that number. So immersing them into the name, it's not a mikvah formula of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not found in other accounts of immersing baptism in the early church or the early Messianic community. For example, Acts 2:38 doesn't use that formula. Some possible meanings of into the name of can be, as David Stern says, the reality of. The reality, into the reality of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or Lashem, it could be have meant Lashem, for the sake of, representing. Another one could be the nature of. And it's true that the Trinity did not become an integral part of Christian theological doctrine until at least the second century, according to the Jewish annotated New Testament. However, the plurality of God is clearly taught in Scripture. 2 Corinthians 13:13, the grace of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Ruach HaKodesh be with you all. Amen. The very word in the first verse of the Bible, Elohim, let's say Elohim, is a masculine plural word. God would be El. Elohim is a plural word. It can mean God or gods, but it's used of God. He's a plurality. The Shema Yisrael, Deuteronomy 6:4, our Shema that we say every week, and an Orthodox Jew every day. Shema Yisrael, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Echad, Echad, let's say Echad. Echad is a composite unity. Yachid would be an indivisible unity. In other words, an example, a cluster of grapes is one cluster. But there's many grapes. It's used many ways in the Bible. God is a unity, a uniplural God. He is a triune God. Av, let's say Av. It's Father. Ben. Son. Ruach HaKodesh. Holy Spirit. I listen to this verse. This is my favorite, probably Old Testament verse on that. In Tanakh, Isaiah 48:16. Since the beginning, I have not spoken. Who's talking? Think about this. Since the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it existed, I was there. So now, Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, has sent me and his Spirit. and his Ruach. Beautiful. Different roles. The Spirit testifies of the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. We're told to pray to the Father, Avinu, Sheba Shemayim, or Av HaRachamim, to the Father in Yeshua's name, in his place, so to speak, I think is what he's really saying. He's not here. We're here in his place. We pray in his, as he would pray. Ask as he would of here, because we're now here. 2 Corinthians, we're his ambassadors. But Stephen did pray, Lord Jesus, Adon Yeshua, in Acts 7 when he was being martyred. Ezekiel prophesies to the Spirit, speaks to the Spirit, but the norm is to the Father. Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:6 says the Spirit cries out in our hearts, what? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Yeah, that's what cries out in your hearts, our hearts. And so he says, Yeshua said, teach them to observe. Make disciples, and then he finishes with this. He says, remember, keep in your memory, it means, because, keep this in your memory. Remember, verse 20, I am with you, how long? Always, right, even to the end of the age. The end of time is what it really means. I'm with you always, even to the end of time. He will never leave us or forsake us, Hebrews 13:5. He's with us until the consummation, the completion of time. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. That's how long? Till the day of redemption. 4:30 of Ephesians. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Right, you're with me. Isaiah 41:10, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't fear. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. Surely I'll help you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Don't be ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of the Lord, of me as prisoner, Paul said, but share in the suffering for the good news. According to the power of God, he saved us, called us with that holy calling. 2 Corinthians, we're not competent, but we have this confidence we have through Messiah, not that our competence is in ourselves to consider anything from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He's made us competent as servants of a new covenant. New covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So we are ambassadors for Messiah. Amen? We're ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20, 19 and 20, he's entrusted this message of reconciliation to us individually, and really us as a community, to go out into all the world. Thank you, Lord.